Hi, this is Kashish and welcome to the first episode of Business Odyssey.
Hello, we are Lakshmi and Laura, partners in this journey. Thank you for joining us where we focus on exploring the human-centric approach while we consider all the variables that affect it, from the learning and development, performance, change process, leadership and coaching, diversity and inclusion perspectives, among other key topics. Today, we are joined by Inclusiva, an IT company with a social mission. We talk with one of their co-founders about how they give an opportunity to the transgender community members to get into the labor market. Happy learning.
Let's go to the interview now.
Welcome, Luis and Daniel, to this podcast. It is a pleasure to me to have you here to talk about Inclusiva. So, will you like to introduce yourself a little?
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the time and everything. My name is Daniel Coletti. From Argentina. And I've been entrepreneur for quite some time now. I'm 47 and one of the co-founders of Inclusiva as well.
Hello, I'm Luis Pinay. I'm also from Argentina. I've been an entrepreneur for a lot less time than Daniel. I founded a company 6 years ago, and this company, together with Daniel's company, are the two founding members of Inclusiva. And thank you for having me and us in your podcast.
It's great to have you. So who wants to talk about what Inclusiva is and what it does?
I think Daniel is the best person to talk about that.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Inclusiva is a joint venture between Flugel and TransTI. We decided to work together to create a service, a new service that Flugel was needing, and which they were very influenced by the idea that I was pursuing, that I was actually putting at work, which is bringing people from the transgender community to the company exclusively. Like we create job positions for transgender community members only, because of the lack of all the job opportunities this community has. So Flugel needed a network operations center. We wanted to create, we still want to create all the job positions that we can do, and we got together to do so in the network operations center service, which led us to create Inclusiva, which is a company to do that. I mean, to give IT services. Right now we have quality assurance and network operations center services, which run, you know, 24/7 and everything. We have a pre-IT information technology-based knowledge in the whole company. So everybody that comes into the company has to have technical background, but and also speak English, of course, because it's bilingual. And And we already have six people on board, which didn't have any jobs before. So there's the first or second real IT experience. So we're pretty happy with that. That's what we do.
Okay, so that brings the first question that is related. What is the main reason you created this company? If you can tell us or share with us what is behind that.
I didn't understand. What was the question?
Yes. What is the main reason both of you created this company? What is because of a personal goal, a change in the professional career, and why is the main focus on the trans community?
I can give you one of the reasons. Daniel, I think that kind of mentioned a little bit about that just now. As Flugel as a company that provides DevOps and cloud engineering services did not have a 24/7 network operation center, did not have people that did not have the ability to provide to their customers someone to respond 24/7, right? So we started to look for companies that we can hire as vendors, right? Sub people that the companies that we can subcontract, right? And none of the companies that we speak with, right, we talk to, were a fit exactly for what we wanted. And also we got the impression that it's going to be easier and cost of far better on the cost side. It's going to be more cost effective. So say maybe we can do something here in Argentina. And since Daniel was my boss for almost 10 years, and we have a very good relationship, and he has a company here in Argentina. Flugel is not an Argentinian company. As I reach out to him and explain what I needed, and he told me that he was interested, and he told me a bit more of what he was doing with the transgender community. And I thought back then, I said, oh, this is amazing if we can provide their services and also doing something good for a community, a minority that's not having a good time. And from that moment on, I think that things started to take off and starting to move forward pretty quickly. And yeah, that's at least the motivation from the Flugel side, from my side. I must say that I wasn't looking specifically to do looking for a company with a social goal, but once Daniel told me, and he kind of transferred his passion for what he was doing, and I thought it was such a cool idea that we got on board very, very quickly.
Yes, let me add there that from our side, we created a social impact company about 3 years ago, which is its name is TransTI, and with the mission, you know, to open job opportunities to the transgender community. The reason behind that is a pretty there are many reasons behind that, but mainly is because that community doesn't have it has awful statistics around Latin America, the life expectation of a transgender person is around 35 to 40 years old. They don't have no job opportunities. They have very lack access. They lack a lot of access to health and education. So it's pretty awful. And we decided to do something about that like 5 years ago. It took us like a year and a half to get everything together. Try to create business models that were okay with the market and that we could do with the community. So, and also understand the community itself, because we are not part of them, of the community yet. We were at that time, and we didn't know much about it. So we knew the statistics, we knew people, but when you get to know the community really, is when everything starts to make sense, and you get more enthusiastic about it. At least that what happened with us, because we needed, we knew that there was an opportunity to actually do some changing, in that community, doing what we know, which is, trying to get a business together. And technology is always an industry that attracts a lot of, it's very needed around the world. So there's always something to do around inside the software industry and the IT industry as a whole. So the real reason is that we needed and wanted to change, to do some change, to get involved. So that's what we did.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. So let me ask you, how is your culture? It seemed that you already mentioned a few, but what about the common values, the common belief? Can you describe that for us, for the audience?
I don't know if I understand what you mean by common beliefs and culture.
Okay, let me refresh the question. If the culture, the kind of culture that have you created there in Inclusiva, if you can describe what is common to work from day-to-day activities, and how do you relate, and what are the relationships between you who run the company and the people that works in Inclusiva, and the kind of relationship that is built between the teams and between the teams and the clients and between the teams and community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first of all, it's really great about Inclusiva is that the people that work there can really be themselves. Like, if they're sometimes what happens is that, it happens a lot when you're divergent, is that you hide that. You don't really show to the people until you break and you come out of the closet and everything. But even then, it's a hard way, day by day, kind of hard for the transgender community members. It is something that they have to deal with it day by day. And so it doesn't happen in Inclusiva. Everybody there feels okay with everybody. Like, they can really be themselves, and it goes up and down and left to right, everybody can interact with everybody, and we, even though we are kind of remote because we still in pandemia here, it's pretty, I don't know, with the customers it's pretty normal, I believe, because they communicate by Slack and phone and everything. So they don't interact as in face to face. But I don't feel that would be a problem. But we haven't encountered that that interaction. So, and with us is I don't know. To me, it's something really, really great. I mean, having like any other person, I guess. I don't know.
It's cool that it's one of the things that we find most interesting is that there's a huge storm here. So sorry if you hear that through our microphones.
It's okay. Don't worry.
And what I was saying is that one of the interesting things about Inclusiva is that for the people of the transgender community, working in Inclusiva, being a transgender person, it's a non-issue. It's not something that the rest of the people in the company is going to talk about. There's not going to be hush-hush about, this person is transgender. They are all transgender. So it's a non-conversation theme, being a transgender, because everyone is transgender. In fact, the only strange people, it would be Daniel and me and anyone else. They are the norm. The transgender people is the norm in Inclusiva. So that's very different. And having interacted with the clients directly, I never seen a comment. I have never seen anything that says, I never seen a comment related to, oh, you hired transgender people, this is different or whatever. And we are working with a few companies right now, and it's simply a non-issue.
Okay, that's great. But I can't hear you anymore. I don't know if something happened. Or...
No.
Okay.
No, it's just that.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Is there any other challenge that as a new organization are you facing right now? I'm asking this from a gender and community perspective point of view.
I don't feel that we have a special challenge more than besides every challenge that every startup has as a challenge, like getting new customers and everything. So doing what we do or being what we are is not doesn't put us in a different situation than any other IT startup right now. So the challenges are pretty common, and having this mission, like that I was talking about, that we don't hire people from outside the transgender community, is not a challenge either, because because of the lack of job opportunities, there's a lot of people that know a lot of things and are really ready to do this, fill up the job position. So there are so many of them. So it's pretty easy to us to hire new people and grow from that side.
Perhaps a good idea, Daniel, if you tell us a little bit about the profiles of the people that we hire, because if I believe that many of the people that's listening would be thinking a transgender and will be thinking about prostitution and that kind of thing. So it would be a nice idea to tell the kind of how things go. It's pretty sad, actually, but it's true.
Yes. Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. The community, the trans community in Latin America is very different, or at least we think is different from the US or the Europe transgender community. They're down here, you have a very diverse people inside the community itself. You have people that are kind of had a pretty bad life, and they were expelled by their families in early years and stuff like that. So they didn't have any opportunities at all. So they ended up in the doing sex job, you know, prostitution and stuff like that. But there's a whole lot of another part of the community did have a lot of education opportunities, or at least they didn't got, you know, they didn't get expelled from their families or homes, and they had the opportunity to finish school, start a college degree studies, and learn English and things like that. Here in Argentina, there's been a law like which is 9 years old right now, where you can go to the registration office from the government and change your name and your gender just by saying it. So that really made an influence in the whole community, not only the transgender community, but the whole community itself. So there's a lot of families that understood that, you know, expelling their children wasn't, you know, the correct thing to do. And they understood that they had to work to see things differently and open up and hug their children. So they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, what and I was about to say, sorry, Daniel, I interrupted you.
Yeah, let me finish with this. So there's a lot of kids that are in their 20s that have a lot of skills that could develop a lot of new skills, and they're ready to, you know, they have a lot of potential, and that's mainly the part of the community where we get our new employees. They still have a difficult situation to get a job, and they don't have job opportunities as well, so they are in a tight spot also. Yeah, go ahead, Luis.
No, what I wanted to say is that the people that we hire, it's not poor, are not marginal people. It's people usually in middle class that had access to education. And several of the persons and the people that we hired are in the university, right? They have for example, in Argentina, our native language is Spanish, and everyone that works in our company, it's fluent in English. So they had some education level. We would like to make it easier for people with a bit less lag. Yes, but it's not what we could do right now. So it's a very interesting challenge, and it's a very interesting things that we are doing with that.
Okay, that leads me to my next question for you. And we will want to go a little deeper about that. Which platforms do you use to hire them? What are the sources? Based on this, both of you were sharing with us, how do you hire them? How is the entire process of an employee there, from recruiting, onboarding, and growing, learning and development as well? If you can share with us those paths.
Well, it is at the beginning was kind of strange because we didn't know, the company wasn't very visible inside the community. So what we started to do is give a lot of training around IT in order to get visible inside the community, and so we can start gathering a lot of resumes from all the members that wanted to go that way, and that, you know, go deeper in the study of IT in general. So that's what we did, and all these free trainings that we give and we're still giving give us the opportunity to get to know a lot of people from the community, and then gather a lot of resumes. Because what happens when you're looking for a job and you don't get any opportunities at all is that you get tired of that. So you stop looking for a job in time. You know, in a few years, you say, this is not worth it. I won't do that. So so going through recruitment companies and this type of, you know, services wasn't a good way to go, because they don't focus on the community. So they don't have a lot of resumes that are, you know, members of the community. So we created that for ourselves, and then we go, you know, we went from interview to interview to, you know, get the right fit, and, you know, we did it all ourselves. I mean, we didn't get, you know, it's hard to get help from that, because no one is looking in the community right now. We are one of a kind, I guess, or two of a kind, something like that.
Okay, to understand what you are saying is that you reach out, as a company, you reach out to the transgender community through some trainings in IT, and then it's the way you receive a lot of CV and you perform the interviews, and then after that, okay, you choose the right person to get into the company and make the onboarding process. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. The difficult part is, you know, getting to know a lot of people from the community that, you know, where you can choose from, like select, you know, choose who's better for that position or not, you know, between among them. I mean, but yes, that's the whole procedure. Yeah,
okay, I have two questions based on that. The first one is, what happens when a person from the non-transgender community is trying to get into the company to work with you? What happened in that, with that?
Yeah, well, we have a precise mission, which is giving opportunities to people that don't have them, people that are outside the transgender community do have more opportunities to get a job. So we just don't, you know, we don't select them. I mean, that's part of our mission. So it's what's called positive discrimination. Like, if you are more privileged, then, you know, go to the whole market, it's all yours. You can get a job in another company.
Okay, I forgot the other question, but something that happens to me. Okay, I wanted to know about that, because you were saying two important things, that one is the company is getting visible towards the community and outside the community. And the second one you said, if you receive a lot of CVs to do the screening and the recruitment. So that leads to my question, this kind of question. So what happens when some straight guy or someone outside the transgender community wants to reach out to you to get the job?
I mean, so, we have a lot of volunteers. It's not that we close doors. We just, you know, get people that want to help in our mission. So we get help from a lot of different type of volunteers, which are not from the transgender community, and they want to, you know, make a difference. And but if you want to get a job like being an operator in the network operations center, that's something that won't happen if you're not from the transgender community, you know. That's what I wanted to, you know, explain.
Yeah, that's great to clarify things. So the other question is, how does learning and development work in Inclusiva? How do you train people?
Well, we get people that are already have a base on IT, and they can move around, you know, different operating systems and different programming languages. So what we teach them is how to do different things around what our customers actually are needing, you know, like being able to understand AWS or different cloud platforms, and in particular stuff or things that we interact with, you know, I don't know, different systems. And what we do is we give internal talks, and we train one by one and among themselves. Also, they, you know, they pass around the tips, and we have a lot of internal documentation that explains how to do different type of things. But it's not like we give a full stack training or a DevOps, a full stack DevOps training. I don't know how it's called. We don't do that, but we keep they keep learning by experience of you know, by doing the job. And we also have a lot of very senior DevOps on the Flugel side that can always be act as a tutor or a trainer. So we get a lot of help from Flugel itself to you know, to explain or to step in when there are trouble, things that they can manage by themselves. So we are backed up.
Okay, that's great. So we are finished this episode. So if you can share, both of you can share with the community some best practice or maybe guidelines to other companies that are thinking or just starting applying diversity and inclusion policies and strategies, and in particular in the trans community. What can you share with us?
Well, my first tip will be get help. I mean, go to people. There's a lot of organizations and a lot of people that really think around this and put together, you know, very good ideas on how to make these new rules or I don't know, things that has to be taken care of. There are a lot of corporations that are publishing all these things. So it's better not to reinvent the wheel and, you know, just copy whoever is doing it and adapt that to your own company. So it's doable. I mean, it's nothing to be scared of. Actually, it's pretty great because you get a lot of diversity, new ideas, a whole fresh way of seeing the world and seeing the community as a whole. So it's always something that it won't take, but it will add different, you know, things to your company. So go ahead, please do that.
Yeah, on my side, I would say that do it. It's worth it. Daniel has been working with the transgender community for some years now. And for our company that was like a non-diverse company not so long ago, and we are walking the path of becoming more diverse, I would say that do it. It's worth your time. And first, be prepared to not understanding what's going on. Be prepared to interact with people that it's not exactly as you are. And ask. If you don't completely understand something or there's something that caught your attention, just ask, be respectful, and it's going to be great. I don't have much more to say than that. It's worth your time, and be prepared to be confused.
That's great. Okay. I was hearing you in previous talk that we have. I have one more final question for both of you. If may I ask, do you consider that Inclusiva could be tagged as a social enterprise? Meaning of social enterprise, that a company that have a purpose beyond financial goals, purpose in the community. If that I'm clear enough with the questions.
Well, I hope that people see us as a social enterprise, because there are many companies that are big and real big companies that are trying to, be tagged as a social enterprise, or at least a diverse company or something like that, because society itself is asking for something more meaningful than just, you created this company just to make money and, to get rich. What else do you do? I mean, we are filled with companies like that. So if I'm going to buy your product and you have like five competitors, besides you, I'm going to choose the one that are doing something else besides, good products and cheap products or whatever. That is happening, and so we don't do that. We're not doing that. We're not doing this for that. But I understand that society itself is asking for that also.
Yeah, we have this, contradiction, because we wanted to show that we are not a ONG, we are not a nonprofit. We are for profit. We want to make money, but we wanted to show that you can make money with having values and having a goal that it's not only make money. Make money, it's cool. We want to make a lot of money if we can, but in the process of making money, we want to change the life of people, as much people as we can. And that's our main goal. We want it to be both. We want to have an impact, but we don't want to be just a non-for-profit or just a charity. I personally don't like charity, because it's for me morally it's wrong, because it's a hierarchical relationship. The people that gives has power over the people that receives, and we don't want that. We want to be a company. We want to give jobs to people in the transgender community, and we want to make money. We want to be just like any other company, but with a mission that it's focused on helping people as well.
That's right. That is the main goal of the question, what social enterprise is about too. So thank you both for your time, for sharing with us and with the community your experience with the transgender community. This is going to be awesome. Great, and I'm excited to hear next steps about Inclusiva. And you are welcome anytime to another podcast. Last me if you want to say something else to Luis and Daniel, you are here.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying thank you so much. It's so wonderful to hear both of you. Such a great opportunity you're creating for the community out there. So thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here and listen to both of you. So thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything.
Thanks to everyone who makes these podcasts possible. In particular, thanks to the guest speakers and to you who are on the other side listening. If you liked it and were able to learn something new today, we invite you to share it with your entire network. We also invite you to subscribe to our different channels to follow our latest news. If you are interested in being part of these series, you can apply by clicking on the link that is in the general presentation of the podcast. Until next time.
A special thanks to the boys, Kashish Wadhwani.